Amen. Open your Bibles here this morning to book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of my message here this morning is Preparing Our Hearts for the Last Days. Preparing Our Hearts for the Last Days. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we enter this new year, year 2021, and Lord, as we have the old year behind us and a new year before us, God, may our hearts be prepared for what you have for us as a people, a church, and a nation, God. And Father, I pray that we would not be caught unawares, God, and not consider the signs of the times in which we live in. And Father, I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would give us understanding here this morning. And pray I be a vessel, honors your Son, Jesus Christ, honors your Word, the living Word of God, and bring glory and honor to your name. So, Lord, give us ears to hear as your people and eyes to see all the truths that you have before us. And, Father, may we be prepared for this coming year of what lies before us as your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And the Apostle Paul here, as he wrote these words here, he was wanting to speak to us. And we want to be men and women who are aware of the times and make the important things the most important things. Somebody once said it like this: you want to major on the majors and minor on the minors. And you get into problems when you take a minor issue and make it a major issue, or a major issue and make it a minor issue. We want to make sure we keep our focus this coming year and things that are important. Now, as a nation, we've got challenges before us. China has started an initiative a number of years ago. They're building roads all around the world. You ever heard of the term the Silk Road to China? Do you know what that means? Years ago, everything used to run to China, all the roads, the Silk Roads. They want that back again. Even in PNG, Chinese people are building roads in PNG, all over the world, South America, everywhere. The Chinese government has taken $90 trillion, printed it out, and just started spending all this money. They're trying to influence the world. That's one thing facing our nation. On a personal, for our nation here, we're $27 trillion in debt. That is a number beyond understanding how big. A trillion is 1,000 billions. That's 1,000 billions is a trillion. 27,000 billions. Am I even saying that right? That is how much we are in debt. How much does that work out for you and you and you that you owe? Because who's the taxpayers? The government doesn't. Everything comes from us. So that is facing us as a nation. That's a lot of money. And we've got crime facing our nation. In Chicago, last year, gunned down in the streets of Chicago, there was 4,115 people last year in Chicago alone that was gunned down, murdered. In 2019, that was an increase of 1,412 people over the year 2019 in Chicago, crime in America. As of December 21st, that one weekend, the weekend of the 20th in Chicago, 6 were killed and 32 were wounded on the streets of Chicago. Crime in America, that's just Chicago. Even in our election here, President Trump hasn't conceded yet. We've got strong feelings across America about the election. That's facing us as a nation. Last year, our cities were burning across America. We got COVID in America. Millions of jobs have been lost in America. And you know what our Congress recently spent time on in America? As of just a few days ago, this is what, of all these things facing America. Now, when you put time to something, time, what you put your attention to, you put emphasis on. This is important. And Congress is considering a new set of rules, as of just a few days ago, favoring gender-neutral language in reference to family, which will require addressing a father, a mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, husband, wife, or in-laws as parent, child, sibling, spouse, or parent-in-law. The revision includes modifying seamen to seafarers, or chairmen to chair. to submit his or her resignation to resigns, to change the language. This is intended to honor all gender identities, the resolution reads. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and James McGovern Friday revealed a resolution package for the 117th Congress that would change pronouns and family relationships in the House rules to be gender neutral, remove references to genders as appropriate to ensure the inclusive of all members, delegates, residents, commissioners, and their families, including all who are non-binary. You know, what's important? You know, they don't want to use the word father and mother. We got all these challenges facing our nation, and that's what they're giving their time to. Now, I don't know how you feel, but when I read that, I said, really? That's where we are as a nation? Our Congress, they don't have anything better to do than that? But you know, as you think about it this coming year, how are we as Christians spending our time? Are we going down the road of things that are worthless, ultimately, and meaningless, that fight against God? Are we spending our time on things that are meaningful and productive for God's kingdom? What's the difference between hay, wood, and stubble and gold, silver, and precious stones? What's the difference? You can never burn up gold and silver and precious. You can't burn that up. But guess what happens to hay, wood, and stubble if you take a match to it? It's gone. What if you spend your life on hay, wood, and stubble? What if you spend your life on that? What is it going to mean at the end of the road for you? What do you have to show? Nothing. You know, we got this new year. Now, look back on the year 2020. Year 2020. Was there any hay, wood, and stubble in your life? Things that you look at that maybe entertaining, how much time did you spend in this endeavor? But what did it really do ultimately for the kingdom of God or for the good of others? What we want to make sure is we don't waste our time on things that ultimately have no value. So with that being said, I want to look at here in Timothy here. Now, chapter 3, verse 1, knowing this, know also that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous time shall come. Apostasy. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, this whole long list of 19 things that are brought out here. You know, as we live in this world, we need to understand, are things going from better to even more better, getting greater, or are they going from here to worse? They're sliding the wrong way. And God's word says apostasy is going to happen. It was going to be a turning away from the truth, a turning away. But in this coming year, because here it says in verse 12, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer what? Persecution. Now, in this coming year, all right, you want to be a Christian. I'm going to be a Christian man. I'm going to be a Christian woman. I'm going to have a Christian home. I'm going to be a Christian in the workplace. I'm going to be a Christian businessman. I'm going to be a Christian housewife. I'm going to be a Christian husband. You decide, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a Christian. And you let your light start shining. Now, in the great apostasy that we see in these times, that men call evil good and good evil, light for darkness, dark for light, chapter 3 here, Paul is wanting us to know that perilous times will come the last days. Now, just want to talk about that term last days here for a minute. When did the last days start? When did it start? The last days have been going on ever since the beginning of the church. The Apostle Paul thought that was the last days. Now we're 2,000 years forward. Does it seem like we're in the last days? Is there an apostasy going on out there where people are calling good evil and evil good? where if you want to mention mother or father, you're being rebuked for that. You know, if your mom or dad went in the hospital, you're supposed to say, my parent went to the hospital. Well, isn't that kind of confusing? People say, well, that's your dad or your mom. Do you see how bizarre it just gets? Apostasy. This coming year, preparing our hearts. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men, are there evil men out there? They're not hard to find, are they? They're not hard to find at all. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now you got the righteous crowd in verse 12. You got the unrighteous crowd in verse 13. You need to decide this coming year, which crowd am I going to stand with? It is so easy to go with the flow. So easy to go with the flow. In the book of Daniel, when he was told, you can't pray for 30 days, would it have been easy for him to go with the flow? Would that have been easy? Yeah. What could he have done? He could have taken a trip. He could have gone on vacation for 30 days. He could have just hung around his house, you know, closed the curtains. But he said, you know, God has been faithful to me all these years. And because that king and those people said, I'm not to pray to my God. No. Who did he put first? He put God first. And that's where the persecution comes in. Because the minute you put God first and evil men say, no, don't do that. We don't want you to do that. Boom, you have conflict. So what do you do? Well, same book here. Turn over here, chapter 1, 2 Timothy. This is Paul's life here. Now, this is part of the prison epistles here for Paul. Paul was in chains. He was in prison. Verse 8 of chapter 1. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Now, Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel, being a godly man. He wasn't ashamed. And you know what some people do, and it's tough. Now, you think about this. When Jesus hung on the cross, who took him down off the cross and laid him in his tomb? Who was that? Joseph of Arimathea. You know what he was doing? He was saying, I'm okay identifying with him. I'm not ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. Because when he went and asked Pilate, I mean, Jesus was just condemned as a criminal. And yet he said, I'm not ashamed. I'm identifying with him. And for us as God's people in this coming year, I don't know how it's going to go, but I do know this. If it gets tough in America, people that know God and love God aren't going to be ashamed of him. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord in this coming year. So don't be ashamed of those who are in trouble for being a Christian. You identify with them. Don't leave them hanging in prison and you not standing beside them with your prayers and your help in time of need. He said, don't be therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, how he died on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea wasn't, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel. Don't run away from trouble. Now, why do unsaved people don't like the gospel? Why don't they like the gospel? Because they got to repent of their sins. And if men love darkness rather than light, guess what they do? They kick back at it. There's a thing that's going around, it's already in Canada, and it's been talked in America a lot, hate speech. What is hate speech? Well, if you're against the homosexual agenda and you say anything against it, that's hate speech. And in Canada, they can put you in jail for that. You can't read out of the book of Romans chapter 1. And in America, there are forces that are pushing that agenda on us. And what are you going to do? What if you're a Christian businessman and you don't want to make a cake for a same-sex marriage? What do? Do you bake the cake or you not bake the cake? See, these issues are good and evil are colliding here. The tares and the wheat, they're coming together to maturity. Paul says, don't be ashamed of me and don't But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel to the power of God. Now, when these things happen, God's power is going to be with you, who has saved us and called us with a holy call according to his works, according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God saved us. God called us. God has a purpose for us. Verse 12, for the cause, chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why is he not ashamed? For I know whom I have believed. And the thing about the Christian life, we got to settle it. Who do I belong to? Am I a Christian? Do I know God? Do I love God? And if push comes to shove, am I going to be like Peter? He says, I don't know him. I don't know the man. Do we want to go down that road as Christians? I don't think so. How did Peter feel about it later on? He wept. He wept. You know, you don't want to go down that road. Can it happen? Yeah, we're creatures of flesh. I understand. Can it happen? But we want to prepare our hearts. Paul said in verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And Paul says, I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to retreat. I'm not going to lay down the word of God just because people don't like it. I know what's true. And I know what I believe. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he believed it and he lived it. You know, this coming year, we've got to be strong in our faith as if never before. Because that day is the judgment day of the world, committed against that day. And we looked at this yesterday in men's Bible study in the book of Jude. How did it go for the unbelieving and the ungodly and the unrighteous? It doesn't go very well in the day of judgment. And Paul knows on day of judgment, when God gives him his eternal rewards for being a faithful servant to him, he doesn't have to fear that coming day of judgment for the world that will be judged in righteousness. So what does God want us to do in these times here? The coming apostasy, knowing this also then in the last days perilous time. How does God want us to do this? Well, look at chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, he's speaking to Timothy, his son in the faith. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. There, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, saying, commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. What are we supposed to do this coming year? What does God want us to do? Well, you have the examples of Scripture and all the faithful witnesses that we have in the Word of God. We're not supposed to just keep it to ourselves. You know, God doesn't want us to be, somebody called it, an undercover Christian, where you know you're a Christian and God knows you're a Christian, but nobody else knows you're a Christian. What does God want us to do? He wants your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And in 2 Timothy 2:2 here, that thou hast heard of me, that's Paul, speaking Timothy, thou is Timothy, me is Paul, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You got Timothy, Paul, faithful men, others. Yesterday at men's group, we were just sharing what we like to see this coming year in our lives. And Victor shared one thing yesterday. He said, I'd like to lead somebody to Christ this year. I'd like to win somebody to Christ. Is that a good goal for this coming year? Is that a good goal? Yeah. Should that be a good goal for each of us? Now, how's it going to happen? Well, what is 2 Timothy 2? Somebody's invested in your life, and you're invested in somebody else's life. And hopefully, as you invest in that person's life, they'll turn around and invest in somebody else's life. That's how God wants the Christian faith to grow. We as God's people, we take the truth, we have the truth. We are people of what? The truth. That's who we are. We're people of the truth. Take the truth. Timothy, you go to faithful men. You find some people. Now, faithful men would be somebody that has a tenderness to God's word. Now, in your Christian life, you get saved and you can be way down here in the Christian life. And guess what? Some other people are just about here in their Christian life. And all this that God's taught you about the Christian life and the wisdom, you can share a lot to help them. You know what's a blessing? If I can stand on the shoulders of other people's spiritual life to help me along. Because guess what? In the Christian life, have you ever messed up? You ever skinned your spiritual knee, so to speak? You ever done things you look back and say, that was really stupid, that was really dumb? We all do that. But if we can gain wisdom from other people and listen to them and invest in their lives, everyone's the better for it. The ones that are doing the teaching, the ones that are receiving the teaching, it should be a goal this coming year. With that being said, Paul said to Timothy, you find faithful men, and then you help them to teach others. But verse 3 says, thou therefore. Now, verse 2 is not easy, because verse 3 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, preparing our hearts for this coming year. The Christian life, is it a playground or a battleground? Which are we in? A battleground. When do you enter into your rest? When has God prepared a rest for the people of God? When we go where? To glory. Right now, we're in the midst of a war of values, of truth, of righteousness, of godliness. We're in this thing. What does absent without leave mean? If you're in the military, AWOL, what does that mean? It means you haven't showed up for what? Duty. And they don't know where you're at. And how does our military look at people that go AWOL? Not very kindly, do they? They're on you. They're going to find you. They're on you. You know why? Because they want you to show up for duty because you're a soldier. And you know, this coming year, God doesn't want us to go AWOL as God's people. You know, church. Why do we have church? It's corporate worship. Can you pray at home? Sure. Can you sing at home? Sure. But God wants the church to gather together. What does Hebrews 10:25 say? Forsaking not, what? The assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That's God's plan. You'll never improve on God's plan. And those that forsake the assembling, they're forsaking the blessings of God on their life. Verse 3, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. Stop right there for a minute. This coming year, now look at year 2020. Did you waste any time in your life that was just, you look back at all the hours you may have spent doing, and you fill in the blank, the affairs of this life. Life goes quick. Lester, does life go quick?
Some days quicker than others.
Okay. Yeah, some days quicker than others. It goes quick. And you're going to turn around and your kids are going to be grown just like that. And you'll wonder what happened to the years. And we want to make the best of our years. And we don't want to have hay, wood, and stubble, but gold, silver, and precious stone. We don't want the affairs of this life to take away from the major things that we should focus on, not the minor things. Why? That we may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. I can tell you one reason I know some people are saved, because I listen to them and they want to please God. They want to honor God. There are lots of ways you can know you're saved. But if you're wanting to please God, that shows me you're in tune with him. And you're wanting to honor him. And you're wanting to do what is pleasing in his sight. Because God has chosen us to be a soldier. Can things get really bumpy for believers? Can things get really bad for believers? If you were living in China right now, would it be really bad for you as a believer? They're tearing down churches with people worshiping inside the church. I got a picture of a church building where they're holding service. They got a crane outside knocking the walls down where they're inside worshiping. That's where China's at. They are suppressing all Christianity across there. This coming year, look at verse 19 of chapter 2. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. 2 Timothy 2:19. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are what? His. Okay. Now, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what happens this coming year, I want you to know something. God knows your name, and He knows who you are and what you're going through. And nothing is going to pass through the hand, nothing going to happen to you that hasn't first passed through the hand of God. God knows you, and He's going to take care of you. And this foundation is sure, has this seal, the seal of God stamped on it. He knows those that are His and belong to Him. And because of that, now that's a great blessing to us, but because of that, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Now, the blessing is God knows that are His. The responsibility for us, live like Him. Be holy for I am holy, saith the Lord. That's the kind of life we want to live. God's revealed the future. He says a coming apostasy, the world's falling apart. Good's evil, evil's good. Put light for darkness, darkness for light. Evil men will grow worse and worse. But all that being said, let everyone that names the name of Christ, you're a Christian, depart from iniquity. How should Christians act this coming year? Verses 20 and 21 talk about vessels for honor, vessels for dishonor. How shall we live? Look at verse 22 this coming year. Preparing our hearts, verse 22. Fleeing also youthful lust. It's in our culture everywhere. But follow righteousness. I'm living the right way according to God's word. Faith. I'm putting my trust in God. I believe what He says, and I act upon what He says because God has said it. I accept the promises of God and live my life according. Love. Herein you shall be known if you're my disciples, you have love one toward another. How do Christians live? Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Can believers ever knock heads with each other? Can we do that as believers? Can we knock heads with each other? You know, what does God call? Call us to peace. Why? Because a brother in the Lord and a brother in the Lord or a sister in the Lord and a sister in the Lord, sometimes they can knock heads with each other. But you know what God says? Cover it in grace sometimes. And overlook each other's faults and follow peace with all men as much as possible. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And as we're gracious to other people that may have offended or hurt us, God will be gracious to us to overlook our faults. If we're, you know, thinking that people don't realize this, if you're harsh on people, you reap what you sow. And guess what? God's going to be harsh back on you. The same way you judge other people, same way God's going to judge you. And if you don't have grace for people that offend you, guess what? God's not going to be gracious to you when you offend Him. You reap what you sow. Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Watch your mouth. Watch what you talk about. Think ahead before you open your mouth. Because sometimes things gender strife that cause conflict. God doesn't want us to do that. Verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. You know, in this coming year, there's people out there that don't know God. And they do such stupid things. And guess what? They make you mad because they do stupid things. But in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves. They work against themselves. But you're patient with them as God's people. If God peradventure will give them repentance, that God will work in their hearts to help them see the error of their ways and to the acknowledging of the truth. You know, how serious is America's situation right now? I heard somebody say it like this: we're in a moral free fall. What's a free fall when a plane goes in a free fall? It's hard to stop it. It's hard to stop it. But you know who doesn't have to be in a moral free fall? We as God's people. Because we're a people of the truth. And we know the truth. And we abide in the truth. And we stand by the truth. In the verse 25, give them a repentance to acknowledging the truth. If you've repented and you've acknowledged the truth, God's going to bless you for that. Because people that reject the knowledge of God, guess where they end themselves up? In verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, if you don't have God's blessing and protection and covering your home and you're not living the Christian life, you know, Satan can just come in, phew, and cause havoc in a life. I've said this before, Tony Evans, said it's just a little saying, but he says, when you kick God out, you invite the devil in. And we've seen that so much across America. And that's so true. You want God's protection and blessing and covering over your family. So in closing here this morning, as God's people, last year is behind us. This year is before us. This is the beginning of a year. Sit down and think in your Christian life. Do spiritual inventory. We've worked at businesses. What do they do this time of year? They take inventory. Well, what stocks we got left over? What do we sell? What we got? You ever taken spiritual inventory? Where is my spiritual life at? Have I read the New Testament? If you've never read the New Testament, say to yourself, I'm going to read the New Testament. If you've never read through the Old Testament, say, I'm going to read the Old Testament through. If you've never read through the Bible, maybe say, I read through the Bible this year. Wherever you're at spiritually, just look at yourself and make some goals for yourself. Because what we want to do is grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to stagnate. We don't want to retreat. But we want to go onward and upward for him. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we as God's people, we have a whole new year ahead of us. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, God, may this be a year of victory. May it be a year of hope. May it be a year of sustained joy and reconciliation and relationships. God, may this year be a year of victory for our Lord Jesus Christ in and through us. And Lord, apart from thee, we can do nothing. It's through your Holy Spirit as we yield and obey and submit in the fear of God, to you and to one another, Lord, that we see victory in our lives. And Father, so many people are twisted up by Satan, who they've been taken captive by his will, and they don't even understand it. They're double blind, God. They have the sin nature, and they have bad doctrine of the philosophies of this world that have corrupted their minds. So, Lord, help us as God's people this year to stand strong and true for you and to be numbered among the redeemed that have lived holy and pure lives, that they don't want their garments to be spotted by the world, but they want to be clean before you and have a good conscience in all things, a good conscience before God and before man. So help us toward this end, Father, this year. May we be your servants and honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.